Phil Hendry.
The idea that we would burn the sacred texts
is a victory today for the Constitution.
The sun is shining over there, but there's still a dark cloud over this city.
Lesbian, lesbian, your mom's a lesbian.
Yeah, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Taking your ass to the edge of reality. Since 1990, the world famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And we go places no talk show, well, no talk show is capable of going to. We go places where no talk show would probably want to go, to be honest with you. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Tomorrow is the anniversary, the ninth anniversary of the events of September 11th, 2001. We've got Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, as well as the PTO there, and an organization that Ms. Dooley has started called the Women's Security Caucus. And what has been done and what hasn't been done and what needs to be done in the intervening years, in the years since 9/11 and now? And who is responsible for what she sees and other members of her organization see as glaring lapses in security and protecting our country. Later on in the program, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to be with us to talk about what security measures will be taken. Every time 9/11 is every time it comes around as an anniversary, it's also a day we have to look at as a potential day where terrorists might think to strike. And so what is our country doing tomorrow to ward that off? 877-876-PHIL. Also, after a couple days of uncertainty, the Quran burning event has been canceled, and we'll tell you more about that. And a Minnesota county says porn leads to sexual and domestic assault. So on our affiliate spotlight tonight, it's San Francisco, KNEW, 910 AM. Great station in San Francisco. Great to be on there. And a new affiliate tonight, in Honolulu, it's KHBZ 990 AM, Honolulu, KHBZ, joining the Phil Hendry Show Network tonight, and we're very grateful and really excited to have you with us. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and our website, philhendryshow.com. You cannot listen to this show without also having a backstage pass, because we have live streaming video of our show, and while other talk shows are boring to watch, ours isn't. I don't know what else to tell you other than just, you know, if you ain't watching the show, man, you're missing like 80% of it. So check our video feed out at philhendryshow.com, and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of literally of archived audio. All right. On the line is Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western State Homeowners Association. But also the the Women's Security Caucus. Bobby, thanks for joining us. I did not know you were involved in this organization. How old is it?
Well, Phil, it's not that old, really. It's an organization that we had thought of last year after the eighth anniversary of the of 9/11, and we did decide that it would be a good idea to move forward because it represents the feelings of thousands of women who generally are sort of cut out of the conversation when it comes to security. And we think that there really isn't much in nature that is more formidable than a woman, a mother, and we all are mothers, who is protecting her children. And so we are women. We're women from all walks of life. We're women from all professions, all races and creeds. The only thing that we're not, Phil, we are not professional politicians. So we don't have any congresswomen, we don't have any assemblywomen. It isn't that we don't appreciate their opinion, but we really wanted this to be an effort by women, for women, to lend our voice in this ongoing debate over protecting our country.
How do you think the country has done? How do you think both President Bush and President Obama have done in protecting the country since 9/11?
Well, I think it's a mixed bag. I think that President Obama inherited so many glaring deficiencies in so many different areas. It's difficult to really get your mind around a lot of what has been missing. I would say that President Bush was negligent. I don't know that he was getting the best advice. We already know that the attack took place on his watch.
All right, can we not get into any discussion as to who's to blame? You know,
no, I'm not going to do that, Phil, but what I am going to do is 7 years of President Bush following 9/11, and the ideas that we have had, and I've talked to law enforcement all over this country. I have bounced a lot of ideas off of them. I am joined in this organization by a number of very, very strong and very committed women, Janice Greeley, Carol Hoffman Johnson, Cynthia Reddick, and just a lot of women who care. And we have talked to law enforcement. They agree that more ideas are needed. So we have come up with a number of ideas, and in conjunction with law enforcement, we see areas of improvement if we can take the really hard steps.
All right, let me ask you something. What was it that President Bush, you know, because I've got a little bit of a sensitive streak when it comes to President Bush. I admire him, and I think he was a good president, and I think he was up to his neck in rattlesnakes. And I cannot abide much longer people continually using him as this whipping boy for everything that went wrong since 2001, because I think it's short-sighted. I don't think it shows, you know.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I know that there are a lot of people that are going to disagree. I didn't come on your program to hear a lecture. I'm sure you...
I'm not going to lecture you. I wanted to sort of push the conversation a certain direction.
I don't doubt that you admire former President Bush. Let's agree to disagree there, but I don't think that any of us in the WFC need, at this point, any lectures from men, because that's what we've been getting, and as a result, we're in two wars. Every day we walk the streets of this country, we could die from a suicide bomb.
Well, let's not be dramatic, okay? I mean, you're saying that no improvements have been made?
We don't have the kinds of improvements that have been made in every civilized country in the history of the world, Phil, when something has happened as grievous as this.
All right, I'm gonna ask you some specifics here in a minute, Bobby. I want to give our number out. It's 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, as well as the Women's Security Caucus, on what needs to be done to enhance the security of our country. And this is a conversation, Ms. Dooley, that happens all the time, ever since 9/11. How can we make ourselves safer? And it was a conversation that took place when President Bush was here. And I don't think anybody was cut out of the conversation. No one was cut out of the loop, you know.
Well, I didn't hear. There was no such thing as the Women's Security Caucus then. I did not hear strong and forceful and a plentiful voice from women. I didn't hear that. The reason why I didn't hear that, the reason why you didn't hear it, is because it wasn't allowed. We are women who are mothers. There is nothing in nature that is more formidable.
I don't know that you were not allowed. I just think that that's... when you say not allowed, what do you mean?
Did you hear of any security caucus such as ours? Did you hear of any female-oriented security organization or think tank such as ours after 9/11? I'll answer that for you.
Well...
No, you didn't. You did. There was no such thing until we came along.
Give me some specifics, then, that what you are suggesting. Have you been in touch with President Obama?
We have been in touch with his staff, yes. But you can look at the simple things, Phil. Anti-aircraft batteries, which have been placed in and around major cities that have come under attack, have been almost a de rigueur response to external attack since the advent of flight. Anti-aircraft batteries do not exist anywhere in our country. We do not...
Well, when you say anti-aircraft batteries, I'm imagining the anti-aircraft weapons from World War II?
I am talking about weapons that are placed in and around major cities that can be targets four terrorists. And those anti-aircraft batteries, you're asking me these questions, Phil, and I sense that you think I'm stupid.
No, ma'am, I don't think you're stupid. I'm wondering, where would you put, so you're saying major cities?
Yes, major American cities. The cockpit doors on our aircraft, we have not upgraded those. They should be made of iron. And the only way to get into a cockpit should be with a welding torch. Quite literally, Phil. We have pilots opening these doors for flight attendants who are knocking and saying, I have coffee. I believe that our pilots should have the go-ahead to keep those doors closed, even if the passenger and crew are at risk. Even if there is violence being committed, that door stays closed. The transponder, once that's turned off, that should be a green light for our Air Force, for our air defense, to immediately terminate that aircraft. There are so many different... A collision alarm, Phil, that can actually track large objects that are building sides.
Well, that wasn't going to help because the planes flew into those buildings. They were being piloted by the terrorists.
We think a collision alarm that sounds when the aircraft is about to strike something large is going to jar even a terrorist into thinking twice. Flotation devices with weapons. Instead of oxygen masks coming down, nerve gas is released. All of this can be done from the cockpit. These are so simple, they are so obvious, and yet all of these so-called brilliant people in our government didn't think of one of them. It is embarrassing.
All right, Bobby Dooley from the Women's Security Caucus, talking about what hasn't been done. Why haven't these changes been made since 9/11? Simple changes, but no woman's voice has been heard, and their security caucus is the first of its kind, where these are just American women weighing in on the need for nerve gas in the cockpit that can be released by the pilot, weapons hidden in the flotation devices, drink carts that are made out of lightweight plastic, a collision alarm in case the plane is about to hit a building, the minute a transponder is turned off, the green light for air defense to shoot that plane down, the go-ahead for pilots to keep the door closed even if murder is being committed on the other side of it, and cockpit doors made out of iron that can only be gotten into with a welding torch. These are some, and anti-aircraft batteries in our major cities. The number is 877-876-PHIL. Why have these security steps not been implemented? Why is America still... in the mind, at least, of Ms. Dooley and her colleagues, why is America still backing away from some of these security measures? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bobby Dooley from the Women's Security Caucus, an organization of lay people, women, who feel that the voices of the average American, particularly the average woman, have not been heard in the intervening years since 9/11. And what you're saying, Ms. Dooley, is that if I'm hearing you right, let's quit talking to the professionals.
Well, I think so, Phil, and I don't mean that professionals are not to be heard, but we have been listening to the professionals, so-called, and we have been listening to what they have to say, so-called, for so long that we forget we've got very good, solid thinking coming from the American people themselves. And by that, I'm talking about the American people who are not necessarily involved in the security business, but are involved in one other thing. We're involved in loving our families. We're involved in loving our children. We're involved in something called wanting to stay alive. you know, so do you understand what I'm saying, Phil?
Yeah, no, I understand that you are very concerned, and you are very, obviously you care about the country, but you are saying the security people have been listened to for too long.
I think the so-called professionals who have not returned our phone calls, President Obama has been a little more responsive. President Bush was not at all. But really, the security people that we're talking about, whether it's FAA, NTSB, whether it is the professional military, whether it is a police agency, when you say to them something as obvious as making the emergency exit something that we can get open from the main cabin at a certain altitude, and the reason why we want to get that open, it's one more weapon that we have as passengers. And they tell you things like, well, it's not safe. And I said to the man that I was talking to, Phil.
And who was this, by the way?
This was a man from the NTSB.
Okay.
I said, do you know what else isn't safe? An aircraft crashing into a wheat field in Pennsylvania. That's not safe either. If you'd rather that I ram the door of the cockpit with a drink cart and slit the throats of terrorists, I guess we can do that. And you could almost hear the blood draining from his face. He was embarrassed.
And well, what do you think he was embarrassed by? You're saying, you know...
He was embarrassed that I am calling up with proactive ideas, and here he is, Mr. National Transportation and Safety Board. And really, and forgive me for saying this, Phil, he's an idiot.
Well, what makes... Bobby, I'm going to go to some phone calls, but I have to ask you, Ms. Dooley. Excuse me, I called you Bobby.
That's all right.
All right. Why is he an idiot when he says opening a door in the main cabin, an emergency exit, is not safe?
Because if we're in the middle...
Even if you're in the middle of a hijacking, there are people, if they're not belted in, that are going to get pulled out of the door because of the pressure.
And you know who else gets pulled out of the door? It's called a terrorist. God.
I understand that, Ms. Dooley, that a terrorist would get pulled out of the door, too, unless, of course, he's belted himself in or has already planned for that prospect, is all I'm saying. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to a phone call here in Nashville. Lauren, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Yes, my comment is that I don't entirely agree with that women's voices have not been heard. Because was Condoleezza Rice not our national security advisor?
Well, Condoleezza Rice, it's interesting. I don't know really how to put this to you, but she's a woman. And there's no question, but her orientation is not that of a mother.
Well, what do you mean, her orientation? You're talking about her sexuality?
Well, let's just say she's not a mother. Are you a mother?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, then you know what you and I would both do for our children. And that
yes, ma'am, I do understand that, but releasing nurses on a flight full of passengers, their mothers, and they have children.
But at that point, aren't we also Americans? And aren't we also...
But this lady just said something. You want to protect your children, right?
Yes. It's very unlikely my children are going to be on a flight with me. Is that what you're asking?
All right, so it's okay with you for them to release nerve gas on another woman's kids.
What I am saying, Phil, is that we're all fighting for our children. If you have brought your children on board a plane that has been hijacked, naturally your children are now, I guess, part of the cannon fodder. But
cannon fodder? I mean, that's kind of that's a decision you're making for another woman, isn't it?
Well, Lauren, you say you're a mother. How many children do you have?
I have one.
If that child is with you on an aircraft and it's taken over by terrorists, and we give the go-ahead to hit the nerve gas, my question for you is very simply this. Are you thinking about that child, or are you thinking about the millions of American children that are being saved?
I'm thinking about my daughter. I'm not willing to sacrifice her life for a potential terrorist attack that has the ability to be averted.
Averted how? See, that's my point.
We have security. Mm-hmm. We have our air guard.
On the aircraft, though, what we have is really nothing. We do have air guard, you're right. But my husband Steve is fond of saying the air guard on an airplane, it's kind of like right guard. It works for half the day. And the rest of the day you stink, you know.
Well, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. Bobby Dooley.
Phil Hendry.
What? What did I do?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Still ahead, we have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we continue here on this Friday night. Tomorrow, the ninth anniversary of the horror that we all lived through there on 9/11. Bobby Dooley from the Women's Security Caucus, a group of women who are not professional security people. They're not politicians. You are just... And I have to tell you, Ms. Dooley, I don't mean to sound as if I'm not appreciative. I'm certainly appreciative of any American, any group of Americans that step forward and say, well, we have some ideas. Please don't misunderstand.
Well, Mr. Hendry, I do thank you for that, but your comments and your questions in the last few minutes that I've been on your program, you've been very skeptical. I've done a great deal of study on this. I would ask you this.
I'm sorry if I sounded rude, but when you say that you want pilots to release nerve gas, you heard what that lady said. Her children are with her.
If her children are with her, and I have been smart enough not to travel with my children, I don't really know why I have to die because she doesn't want her children nerve gassed. There's every possibility the children will live. And through living...
All right, hold on for just a minute. Every possibility the children will live...
I really want to get this out, Phil. Every possibility the child will live and will be remembered as a child that was nerve gassed, lived, the plane landed, everyone was safe, and certainly if there's brain damage, within a couple of years you're going to know that from the child's schooling, and if it acts, am I supposed to use the word retarded?
You can't, but if there's some developmental disability, all right.
But Phil, do you know who the Tutsi tribesmen are of Africa?
I've heard of them.
You've heard of them, but you haven't studied them the way I have. These men use machetes that are so daunting that if you saw one, you would surrender even if they were not directed at you. Do you know who the Tonton Macoute were?
Yes, I do. The Tonton Macoute were thugs in Haiti.
They might have been thugs, but they also used a machete. The question that I had for the NTSB under President Bush was, why are flight attendants not allowed to use something like this? Why do we not have these available to passengers in flotation devices? A machete, Mr. Hendry, is going to neutralize very, very quickly a terror threat on an aircraft.
Ms. Dooley, a machete could also get passengers injured very seriously.
Do you know what else gets passengers injured seriously, Mr. Hendry?
A plane crashing because of the terrorist.
Well, I was going to say a plane crashing, but you said, because you're nervous, because you don't understand.
No, I understand what you're saying. There's going to be death from the terrorists, so why not take our chances with a bunch of passengers wielding machetes? I don't know.
I'm glad you think that 9/11's funny.
Excuse me, I don't think it's funny at all. The image of passengers wielding machetes did cause me to laugh. I'm sorry. 877-876-PHIL. Cindy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Bobby Dooley. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just want to say that this woman, please don't interrupt me.
Do not interrupt. Make a sound while I'm speaking.
This woman who is speaking about how women have no voice, but yet she's interrupting every female caller who's ever called in here that I've listened to so far this evening.
I'm a mother.
Excuse me. I'm talking.
Are you?
You've had your
you?
Say. You allow mm-hmm. me to have my say.
Mm-hmm.
First off,
if you're not a mother, then I...
No, not
she's
enough.
Allowed to have her say.
If you're saying, uh-huh, then you agree with me. I suggest
exactly.
that you keep your voice silent, please, and give me just a little bit of a floor for a minute here. You have no idea what I'm going to say. Please listen to me. First off, second of all, I am glad that you are on a right wing. You belong with Nancy Pelosi out there somewhere in California because you have no idea what it takes to run an airline, yet alone have anybody be free in this country and to go willingly wherever they want to go. And
I want us to be
on
free.
An airplane?
Yes,
drug is, lady, get a clue. People died in this country because there was terrorists that came on board our planes regardless.
Exactly.
Everybody who ever gets on board of an airplane or drives down a highway in this country is at risk at any given time from terrorists.
I sound way more intelligent than this woman. I don't know why you let her talk.
She's allowed to talk.
Trust you don't sound anywhere near as intelligent as I have. I said, and
excuse
I
me.
Still stick by it. If you had a machete,
I'm
wouldn't
about
you
ready
kill?
To shut this radio program off.
Wouldn't you hack? Wouldn't you hack
you.
At a? Wouldn't you hack at a terrorist if you had a machete? Yes.
No.
Of course
I
you
don't
would.
Want people on an airplane that I'm on have a machete. I have a brand new baby grandson that's born. Do you think I want to have anything
brand new.
With going on an airplane where there's nerve gas on it? No.
That is a wise
you
choice.
You think I want anybody
that's a wise
involved
choice.
Like you involved in airlines or my government? No.
That other woman said she was going
to
go on the aircraft with her child with
nerve gas. Why don't we go to Afghanistan and tell them how to run a terrorist?
You know, I'll tell you something. I don't want anything to happen to you, but I would love to. I'd love to hear you get hit with some nerve gas.
Yes. Sorry.
You have been yelling and screaming. You have caused people to vomit with your loud voice. My husband is ill, and when he heard your voice, he threw up. Because you're like this. You sound like a seal. What a retard.
Don't use that word, please, okay?
Well, she's acting like one. And now, is it my turn?
Ms. Dooley, I don't want to hear that word, and I don't want to hear you reference anybody that way, okay?
Well, here's what I would say. If she came on the plane with her grandson,
I don't care what
grandson,
she has to say.
Because
I don't think a
of
lot
what
of your
she said tonight,
she
I would
to
ask the
right
pilot
now.
To release the nerve gas, regardless if there were terrorists.
Say that again.
Because of what this woman has said to me tonight, I hope her grandchild gets nerve gassed. She deserves
you
it.
You what?
You hurt me because of the rude way you've treated me.
You are
if
not
you are
even
ever
a woman.
On an aircraft.
You're not a woman.
I hope.
You are.
How dare you? How dare you?
I think you're a man. You're
you know,
a
you know
somebody
something?
Sitting talking.
You know what I think you are? I think you're anti-human.
You're
I think you're
woman.
Anti-human. You're not a woman. You
what?
Don't know what it is to be a mother. I have sons. Do you have children?
Blah, blah,
no.
blah. You've
yeah.
got everything,
so another,
don't you? You've
you know
got
what?
Even got
she says she has grandchildren, and yet she's never had children of her own. That's really interesting.
Do you teach your grandchildren how to use machetes?
I don't have
Give
grandchildren
me a break,
yet.
Lady.
I don't have grandchildren yet, Methuselah.
Yeah,
my
thank
boys
God.
Are
thank God.
Yeah, my boys are nice. How dare you? I bet
you
you'd like to
no,
nerve gas
no.
my sons.
No.
You'd
people
like
that
to nerve
talk
gas
like you,
my sons.
That's why I'm on the radio talking, because we don't need people around like you.
You're not talking,
like
you're slobbering.
You
you're not talking, you're slobbering. You take your you take your grandson
no,
on a plane and nerve gas him. You'd
I'm
love to nerve gas.
You
all right, okay. Thank you very much. Good call, Cindy. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL.
How can you call that a good call? I mean, she's...
Her points were very well made. And why would you want to nerve gas her kid?
She doesn't have any children. She's got one grandkid that she called brand spanking new, like it's a car. Like she just bought herself some new fingernails. I've got a brand spanking new grandson. Well, guess what? Take them on an aircraft, and I knock on the cockpit door, and I say, there's death and mayhem going on back here.
Meaning the pilot
yes.
will release the nerve gas.
Yes.
877-876-PHIL, Phil Henry Show. Here is John in Wichita, Kansas. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir. My comment is based around the air traffic control situation she referred mm-hmm. to earlier. Mm-hmm. Basically, as somebody who is in the Air Force and who is in control of air traffic control deviation tactics, okay, I would tell you you should read up a little bit more.
Thank God.
Before
thank
you
God you called. Say what?
I will tell you, based on your comment about the transponder failing, mm-hmm. that plane should immediately be terminated. I have you know that 16 times a day, ma'am, a day, a plane either deviates from its set course, the transponder unit on the airplane fails, anything. When that happens,
in the Air Force,
it's my job
in the Air Force,
to have
yeah.
air support.
In the Air Force.
It's my job
well,
to have the
what about
air support on that plane, forcing that plane to either confirm that everything on that plane is okay, or, in your words, yes, it would be terminated. Now, thankfully, since I've been doing my job,
about.
That has
yeah.
never been having mm-hmm. haven't have been done. However, mm-hmm. based on what you're saying, my comment would be that you would be convicting basically 4,600 people a day based on a 300-person average airplane load. To be put to death simply on an electronical error or an error.
Well, my question is this. Is this something that, is this, may I say something, Phil?
All right, go ahead.
I want
to
ask the gentleman this. Are you
yes, ma'am.
Saying that they fail on Air Force jets or are they failing on commercial aircraft? There's a very big difference.
There is an actual huge difference in that, ma'am. We treat
mm-hmm.
any military presence in the United States airspace extremely seriously. However, when you're talking about the lives of innocent civilians who have either deviated from their set path for simple things,
well, then it's
you know,
then John, you're saying that this happens on commercial aircraft. That's what he's saying. When these failures,
and only speaking yeah. about commercial airplanes,
commercial aircraft.
Well,
yes, sir.
Isn't there a way? Isn't there a way then of having weapons on board? And what do you think of the nerve gas idea? I've got a lot of women I'm talking to tonight, and thank God you called. Thank
yes,
God
ma'am.
You called. I've got a lot of women
like
calling me tonight. Well, I just want to ask you this. That woman, most of those women are jealous of me because I've come up with ideas. What do you think of the ability to release nerve gas and at least have machetes available?
Machetes. That's the one the lady really flipped on. Go ahead, John.
My response to that,
he's laughing. Are you laughing?
No, that was a cough, ma'am. That was a cough. I did not laugh.
No, that was you were going, Well, you went,
No, he did not.
Ma'am.
Go ahead.
Absolutely not, ma'am. If you were to release any kind of a nerve agent onto an airplane, you have to also keep in mind, ma'am, that the pilot who is flying that plane survives off the same oxygen as the remainder of the passengers. There's
the
no way you can have a...
There's no gas going into the cockpit.
No,
unfortunately, the air circulatory system on an airplane flows through
mm-hmm.
the entire fuselage from the very tip where the cockpit is, where the pilots sit at, all the way to the back lavatory.
Understood. What about the idea of hatchets? What do you think of hatchets?
Hatchets.
Now,
you said machetes.
Hatchets.
Okay. The machete idea, how do I put this? The machete idea would be completely and utterly useless. The cockpit itself.
I can hear you laughing. I can hear
no,
you
ma'am.
Laughing.
The man's not laughing. What is it with you, Bobby? The gentleman is trying to address your idea of putting hatchets or machetes for passengers.
Why is that so ridiculous? We're the ones who are going to die.
And you know what? The pilot is, too.
No, not if they... My other question is this. Why do the pilots not... Why are they not able to fight and beat up the terrorists? You see what I'm saying? There are so many...
What are you... Pilots are not martial arts. Look, I'm going to let you go, John, because we got to take a break. I appreciate your call and your expertise, and thank you for your service to our country, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Now, Bobby...
Well, Phil, don't... I know where your politics are. Thank you for your service to our country. That basically... It means you're pro-military, which is fine. but it also means you're pro-George Bush, and he's the one. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Phil.
Would you not do that on the air?
I apologize, but I had an undercooked steak. George Bush is the one who put up the big stop sign to our idea of nerve agent on the plane. He also is the one that put up the big stop sign for the go-ahead to be given to pilots to lock the cockpit door even if they can hear women screaming on the other side of it.
Well, I don't think anybody is going to like an idea like that.
Well, Phil,
I don't think anybody is going to say, yeah, that's a great idea, even if I hear screaming on the other side of that door. Now, there are cockpit doors that do lock at some point when things get way, way out of hand, but that's already been put into effect. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk with Bobby Dooley from the Women's Security Caucus on her ideas and other women's ideas on what it is we need to do to further secure aircraft in the air as they're flying from one place to the next as we come up on the 9th anniversary of September the 11th, 2001. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Jay Sanis with the Citizens Auxiliary Police next hour.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Uh-huh.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, and with me is Bobby Dooley from the Women's Security Caucus. We were talking during the break about security in our country, and you were mentioning a lot of these ideas that you had run past the NTSB, you'd run past the FAA, you've talked to military people, you've even gone over to, you went over to DGEgold.com. Because they sell gold over there.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course...
Phil, the reason why I talked to, and I know the guys at DGE Gold, it's called Desert Gold Exchange. I know them. And I am hedging all my bets. I can go to DGEgold.com, which I just did when I was... during the commercial break. And they're a precious metals dealer. I know they're a sponsor of yours, right?
Yes, they are.
Well, I am doing business with them, and everyone I know does business with DGEgold.com, but it doesn't mean I stop thinking as a human being. I go to DGEgold.com, I go to Desert Gold Exchange, I call them up. I also think about the security of our aircraft. Why are terrorists able to get into cockpits with a spoon or a fork? I don't know. You should need a welding torch. Why are pilots not allowed to release nerve gas? Why? Because that woman, who wasn't even a woman, thinks her grandson is so extra special. I think my boys are so special, I didn't bring them on the plane. She brought her grandson on the plane. That means my boys are deprived of a mother. And the old lady and the grandkid, they die anyway. And you don't find their remains because they're vaporized. That's how fast the plane is going.
And all right, I understand that. So in other words, nerve gas.
Yes. If it means 1 5-year-old grandson get some kind of a Tourette syndrome when he's a little bit older because of the gas, because of neural damage, that is a very small price to pay.
All right, 877, I don't think so. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Robert on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Robert. You're on with Bobby Dooley.
Good evening, Phil. I'm a recent listener, and I got to tell you, as a 23-year pilot, captain on 767,
mm-hmm.
With all due respect, your guest is completely out of her depth. I recently heard her actually talking about another thing, another topic when I was coming home from work, and I don't know.
I'm a civilian. I understand that I'm not a professional pilot. I am an American layperson. So excuse me if I don't have all of the expertise. Are we not allowed to weigh in on these topics?
Absolutely you are, ma'am, but I'm just trying to address something with Mr. Hendry for the moment. The question I have for Mr.
Yes.
Hendry...
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Dave. Dave, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Good evening, Dave. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, Phil.
I just want to weigh in.
Your name is Phil.
I know my name is Phil. He's Dave. You said, how are you doing, Dave?
I'm
no,
sorry.
No, it's okay. It's all right.
You were so nervous. You said good evening, Dave. You said your own name.
He understands that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, ma'am. I'm not nervous at all. Thank you, ma'am. But also, having been a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
You said good evening, Dave. You know.
Okay. That's
you know how you said
ma'am.
That.
Am
you
I going to be able
that?
To get my?
He let the gentleman talk now because we know that that's what he said. Okay. So thank you. Turn your radio down for me, Dave, if you don't mind. If you've got it up.
Yeah, that was the case.
Why am I not allowed to say these things?
Ms. Dooley, you're saying stuff that's completely off the point. I want to hear what Dave has to say.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead.
I want to reiterate what the previous caller was trying to get to.
Oh, you're out of time. You're out of time. You can't...
I apologize, sir. I am out of time. I apologize. I wasted time with that pilot. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You're out of your depth.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I have heard news accounts about customers reporting that PG&E, to PG&E, that they
it's a victory today for the Constitution. The judge.
There's no doubt that when someone goes out of their way to
the sun is shining over there, but there's still a dark cloud over the city.
You blew it!
Who said that to me?
Taking your ass to the edge of reality since 1990. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And truth is our bitch here, so we're going to take you wherever that leads. And we go places no other talk show can frankly go. And we actually do a different kind of a show on this radio program. We try to entertain you and we try to amuse you. We don't necessarily care about political ideology. However, coming up this hour, Jay Santos joins us. Jay is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we will be talking with him about the day of service that President Obama has called for on the anniversary of 9/11, which is taking place, as you know, tomorrow, the 9th anniversary. 50 Cent upsets the gay community. President Obama defends the Ground Zero Mosque. We'll get into that stuff later on in the program in our news hour. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. If you don't have a backstage pass yet, you should get one. Now, what is a backstage pass? That is a subscription to our website. Is it a lot of money? No. Do you get more than any website in the history of radio has ever provided? Yes. Do you get more on our website than any other website that currently exists for any radio personality gives you? Yes. Do you get more quality entertainment on our website than any other website provides? Yes. And I'm not lying. We have archives of a radio show that people actually like to listen to again. There's no other radio show I can think of other than Amos and Andy. Excuse me for saying that, but I mean, what other radio show do people want to go back and listen to again except for ours? So we have over 3,000 hours of archive material on our website and so much more. Go over, get a backstage pass, $6.95 a month. That's right, $6.95 a month, and you got all the material that you're going to need from one of the greatest radio shows ever. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're going to get on with Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. The Auxiliary Police, Citizens Auxiliary Police is a volunteer police agency. It's a volunteer security force, Jay, correct? That is not aligned with the police.
Well, you and I have this discussion all the time, Phil. Every time I come on your program, you ask me, well, what are we? And I can tell you what we are. We are a We are an auxiliary to the police. We help the police, and we do a lot more for the police than they do for us. The police have really not treated us with all that much respect, and we are entitled to respect. But be that as it may, we will address that. That's a fight for another day. We do help the police when they are overwhelmed, and they are overwhelmed more often than not, and we are able to augment their security efforts. With security efforts of our own. We feel this is important given the state of American society right now. And I don't want to keep giving this speech every time I come on your program, but I understand why you asked.
Well, you have said in the past that most of you guys in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, you could have been police officers, but you didn't like the politics, right?
That's correct.
And now you just said something very interesting there. You don't get a lot of respect from the police. Why is that?
Well, I can tell you my opinion.
Go ahead.
My opinion is we don't get a lot of respect for the police because we do a lot of what they do better than they do. We are able to, we do our flare drops, we do our three-step takedown, we have our home inspection for a VCR tape that isn't rewound. All of these things add up to a smoother running community, and certainly tomorrow, Phil, we're going to get around to talking about 9/11.
Yes, we'll get around to talking about it. Just was asking you some questions concerning the actual operation.
Well, I came on your program tonight to talk about 9/11 because that's a day where we could be at risk. It is a day that's important to Americans. It's an anniversary of a terrible event that we observe as a memorial, but also we could be at risk. And that's what I want to talk about. I mean, we can fool around to discuss this.
Well, I don't think it's a fooling. When we're talking to you and we're talking to other people who are volunteers in the area of security, we want to know whether or not you have the blessing of the police. I know you have a substation there, and that is located in the basement of your home. I know that, but this event that you're planning tomorrow, where you're going to be doing pat-downs of just about everybody that goes in or out of a shopping mall there in the South Bay, right?
Well, we're going to have our sub-commanders throughout not only Orange County and Los Angeles County and other areas around the country. We have, as we've mentioned to you, Phil, countless times, we do have the Range Riders in Texas. We have the SEAL Squad, which is in the Bay Area. We've got auxiliary police forces across the country who will be, we will be doing full spread. People ask us, how could you do that legally? Because I have the right to have a, if you've ever heard about it, and I'm sure you have, it's called Constitution of the United States. Well, we have a right of citizens arrest.
Yeah, of course I've heard about it, Jay. I don't need to be, the sarcasm we don't need, okay?
Well, I mean, the way a lot of people talk with us, I know that there are people who appreciate what we do. And when I'll come on your program or some other program I come on, and they'll all be talking about how, do you have the right? And I said, well, yeah, I've if you've ever heard of some little thing called a constitution, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Yeah, I got a right. And
you claim the right of citizens' arrest. Now, tomorrow, President Barack Obama is asking the country to observe the September 11th anniversary as a day of service and remembrance. He says Americans should find a way to serve their fellow citizens and rekindle the spirit of unity and common purpose felt in the wake of the 2001 terror attacks. He spoke at the White House news conference Friday, a day ahead of the 9th anniversary. He said Saturday will be a day to commemorate not only heartbreak, but also the enduring values and resilient spirit of America.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. And although I'm not a Barack Obama fan necessarily, I do think what he said there, and so that's what we want to do.
But you're going to be at malls, and so how can you effectively...
Hold on just a minute. What? All right, so go ahead.
How are you going to stop people and frisk them as they go into stores? You're not a police officer.
But we are a citizens auxiliary police officer. And I have the right to say, are you saying that I don't have the right to talk to somebody?
No, I'm not saying that. But how can you get people to stop and to obey when you ask to frisk them? All right.
Well, there's a couple of ways, Phil.
All right, hold on. I want to give our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, talking with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Tomorrow, the anniversary of 9/11, Jay and his sub-commanders from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, you're going to be literally frisking people, huh?
But we don't use the term frisk, and we don't use the term pat down. We use the term spread. And the reason why we use our own terminology, we use our own language, is because we don't choose to identify with the police. The police have their term. They won't say, you know, they want to call a frisk. They want to call a pat down. You know, have fun. You know, knock yourself out. We say spread. And because we haven't been treated with much respect by police, we just, you know, we go our own way and we talk a talk. Tomorrow, when we frisk, and we will be frisking men as well as women, it'll be a thorough frisk, but it'll be a very quick frisk. Well, we're looking for any weapons, any, obviously, bombs or explosives, but it's going to be thorough, and that means we're going to have to do a leg pat, what we call a spread. Our hands are going to be, for the men anyway, we will do a crotch search. For the women, we have two officers. We have a female by the name of Cecilia Belcher, who is with our sub-ensign, and we have a gay officer, Jim Threlkel, who's gay. And
he's going to be frisking the women?
That is correct, yes, sir.
And well, how, I don't know what that means. Just because he's gay doesn't necessarily mean women are not going to be... First of all, I want to know how you're going to be frisking people.
I told you we are going to do a full leg pat.
No, no, no. I mean, how do you get people to stop and be frisked?
Well, that's a pretty easy, that's pretty standard. That's almost Citizens Auxiliary Police 101, Phil. We all know that we have a voice of authority. Every police officer, everybody who's in frontline law enforcement knows we have a voice of authority. When someone walks past us, you simply say, put your hands on your head and turn around. Now, that's called a voice of authority. When you use that phrase, put your hands on your head and turn around, there's not too many people that don't do it. We've seen in the past success rates anywhere from 87, 90, 93%.
And you're saying the phrase what?
We say the phrase, put your hands on your head and turn around. And or you could say, put your hands on your head, turn around and shut up. But what you're saying basically is, do it now. And people will respond to that automatically. And before you know it, and before they know it, you've done a full spread, full pat down. They're on their way. Tip my pith helmet.
You're telling me that in the past you've said to people, put your hands on your head and turn around.
Yeah, with your back facing me. So if they're looking at me, I'll say, put your hands on your head and turn around. And they do it.
And they do it, and you do it. How long does the pat down take?
No more than 20 seconds. Very quick pat down. You do have to get your hand right up in there. That's why we do have the female there. For the females, we also have gay James Threlkel. But if you're asking me, are we intent on protecting this country tomorrow, the answer is yes. If they are giving their consent that we're doing a spread, then...
When you say a spread, you're talking about a pat-down.
That's correct.
And if you say to them, turn around, put your hands on your head, and they do it, they're giving consent.
They are giving consent to have their person searched, yes, sir.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. This voice of authority that you say you're using, okay, is a commanding voice. It's a demanding voice, and they may mistake you for a real, valid police officer.
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm wearing a pith helmet and a blue armband. We are a Citizens Auxiliary Police. I suppose they don't have to do what we ask them to do. That's up to them. But when I say, put your hands on your head, turn around, and I do it in a voice of authority, I give you an example, put your hand on your head, turn around, that's what I'll say it like that, then they've got a couple of choices. They can do it, or they may imagine themselves on the receiving end of the business. We would call, you know, show's over. You know what I'm talking about?
And you don't have a weapon, though.
No, we do not, but they don't know that.
877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Jay Sanos as he talks about tomorrow and frisking people as they're going in and out of malls in the South Bay and other auxiliary police agencies doing the same by using that phrase, put your hands on your head, turn around, and shut up, and people generally will go along with it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's The Phil Hendry Show.
Shut up. You like that?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Would you hear you? Hear me?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Tomorrow, the anniversary of September the 11th. Jay, before we take some phone calls, question for you. When you use this voice of authority, when you say, turn around, put your hands on your head, and you're using that in the authoritative voice that you say police officers use.
Well, all of us use in the front line of law enforcement, yeah, Phil.
All right, but you're an auxiliary police officer, but nonetheless, when you use that voice, you say people automatically turn around.
We've had a success rate of 87 or 90%. Tomorrow, we predict anywhere from 90 to 95%.
Why?
For the very simple reason, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to be feeling really guilty tomorrow, as well they should. It's the anniversary of a day when 3,000 people, okay, and I don't mean to be smart, but I'm sure you read about it in the paper, 3,000 people died.
And of course we know that, Jay, okay? Of course we know that.
All right. And you're going to have people going to the shopping mall and buying candy and going to the movie and pretending like that was all made up, like somebody just made that up. I don't think so. They're going to feel very... I think you're going to find a lot of people feeling guilty. So that when I say, turn around, put your hands on your head, I think they're going to put their hands on their head because the guilt mechanism is going to kick in. Now, if they don't, we got a red flag. And I'm going to have to investigate that further. And
why do you call that a red flag? Because if they don't put their hands on their head, they must be guilty of something? Maybe they realize that you're not a real police officer.
Well, and maybe they realize that they just did not do what I told them to do on a day when 3,000 people touch the face of God. You know, to quote Ronald Reagan.
And Ronald Reagan?
That's what Ronald Reagan... Wow, you don't know that Ronald Reagan said that on that day.
Ronald Reagan said, touch the face of God. He said that about the Challenger.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought it was...
No, Ronald Reagan, no. This is well after... All right, so 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to a phone call here on the line with us in Orlando, listening on WEUS, is Carol. Go ahead, Carol. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos.
Hello, I'm 72, and if any officer said that to me...
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. It's Jay Santos.
I didn't hear you.
I said this is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I don't know if you heard me or not.
Okay. I'm a 72-year-old female, and if somebody approached me at the mall and said, turn around, put your hands on your head, I would say, what's your badge number? What police office department are you associated with? And until I got that name and badge number, I wouldn't move. And if they put their hands on me, they would get... sprayed in the face with pepper spray. I'm saying,
well, that's what you say now. That's what you say now. But you know as well as I do that if I told you, turn around, put your hands on your head, you don't know where that's coming from, you know.
I would never do it.
What if it's a mugger? What if the guy's going to mug you? You wouldn't do it then? I think you would.
I would spray them in the face. I would not let anybody near me, especially touching me, without knowing.
What do you mean spray? What do you mean spray? What are you spraying it from? What, are you spraying on them?
I keep it in my.
You're
in
spraying
my
from
hand.
You?
I
she
keep
said
it in
she,
my
she
hand
said
every
me.
Time I go near a store because in Orlando.
What do you keep in your hand? She's keeping it in her hand.
She said mace.
No, she no. said me. I said, what are you spraying it from? And she said
pepper
me.
Spray, right? I have.
And so, what are you doing, ma'am? Are you lifting your leg?
No, she didn't say that at all.
That's what I heard.
No. It's pepper spray.
Pepper spray. I
well,
keep it on my keychain.
That's
if
now
we've
got a situation.
If anybody touches
now
me going in the mall, they're going to get in trouble. I'll tell you that much
okay.
right now, whether they're a police
right.
officer or not.
Okay, so you're free
you don't
to take
do
your
that
bomb.
To old ladies.
So you're,
what country
you're
do you
free,
think
you're
live
free
in?
To take, you're
what
free to take your
do
bomb.
What country do you think you live
you're,
in?
In the United States of you know,
yeah,
the one...
We have rights
forgot,
to be out in public.
I forgot what it's called.
America?
Yeah, America. And I will tell you, if Carol is still there... Are you there, ma'am? Ma'am, you there? God, I hate that.
She hung up. Go ahead.
I'll tell you something, Carol. So you want to be free to take your bomb into the mall. Well, guess what? No can do. No can do. And?
Well, she just made a point that she's an elderly woman, and she's taking whatever it is she's taking into the mall, and she obviously feels that you are not a not authorized to do what you're doing.
Well, I could tell you that that woman talks real big shot now, but when you encounter people like that and you say, turn around, put your hands on your head and keep your mouth shut, they do exactly what you ask them to do, as meek as a lamb.
877-876-PHIL. Let's move over to Hector in San Antonio. Go ahead, Hector. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos.
Hello. How you doing today?
Very good.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Santos, what kind of previous training did you have to acquire this position?
Well, let's acquire this position. This was started by Major Elvis Newton in 1997. We're all volunteered.
Okay. So, as far as you, have you had any formal law and training experience? Have you are you familiar with the amendments of the United States?
I've been around. I can handle myself. That's what you're talking about.
No, he's asking, have you had formal training?
I can handle myself.
Have you had formal training, though? Police officers have formal training. Have you had formal training?
I'm not a member of the regular police force because of that political situation.
Okay.
You ask me, have I worked? I worked security. Worked security for Johnson Beverage Company in Portland, Oregon, for 3 years.
Right. Okay, so you're not familiar with the pat and frisk doctrine, and you know where people have
what?
To submit sir, the pat and frisk doctrine.
Sure, I know about that.
Okay, so you are familiar with it, and
pat
you know
and
that
frisk,
it requires at least mere suspicion to stop and pat and frisk somebody. When law enforcement does that, they are doing
what if
that.
They let you? What if they let you do it? What if they let you do it?
Okay, so you're saying a consensual pat and frisk.
That's
okay.
Exactly right.
So,
when I say stop, put your hands on your head, turn around, they're doing what I said.
Well, what do you do whenever a citizen that you stop at this mall, if you even have permission to work this mall, to search everybody in there, what are you going to do when they refuse a search?
What would you think as a police officer? I'd say that's a red flag right there, because now they're taking their little bomb into the mall, aren't they? Yeah, it's a red flag for me. It'd probably be a red flag you.
Okay, thank you very much. Hector, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Jay Santos, on the line with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Tomorrow has been designated, you know, it's the anniversary of 9/11. President Obama has called for a day of service and remembrance. He's asking the American people to rekindle the spirit of unity and common purpose that we felt, that we all felt, in the wake of the 2001 terror attacks. He's attending a service at the Pentagon on Saturday, while First Lady Michelle Obama will appear with former First Lady Laura Bush in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. I think that's a very nice gesture. Jay, on the line with us tomorrow, you're going to be... You just heard a police officer say that you're a Citizens Auxiliary Police Officer. You can't stop and frisk people legally.
No, he said that I could frisk... If they give their consent, Mr. Henry, okay?
What about females? Let's talk about this. You want to do a full spread, as you call it.
We call it a spread because we don't want to call it a pat... frisk and pat or frisk and grip or whatever. These cops, I don't want to be identified with police, not because we don't like police, but they've treated us with disrespect. We call it spread. And
what about females?
Female women to be searched?
Yes.
We have, as I already mentioned to you, Mr. Henry, we have Cynthia Belcher is a female sub-ensign.
I didn't hear a sub-ensign. Now, that is different from the sub-commanders you have in the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Is she the only female you have?
She's the only one available right now, Mr. Henry, and anything else that I would tell you about that is really sort of none of your business, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm just asking how you're going to be dealing with women that you say, is she going to be saying to women, stop?
Yes, put your hands on your head and turn around. The phrase is very familiar with anybody if you watch, and if you watch some very good television programs that show you how police do it, and they'll say, put your hands on your head, turn around, shut up. It's pretty standard, and that's what we've seen on the documentation, what we see. We also have Jim Threlkeld.
All right, now this is Mr. Threlkeld. This is the gay sub-commander, right?
That's correct.
And he's going to be frisking women, and you don't think you're going to have a problem?
I No, I do not think we're going to have a problem. Once the women feel that it's a man that is, is basically feeling them, I will then step in and say, he's gay. And at that point, then they have no reason.
Why doesn't he? I just wonder why it is. And it sounds very, it doesn't sound like anything a woman's going to be comfortable with. I don't care if he is gay. You know?
Well, they're not going to be comfortable when they feel a man beginning to do what we call a probe, because women have more places. Phil, I don't want to talk about this, but if you want to talk about, women have more places to hide things. So Jim Threlkeld, who's gay, will do a probe. Once they feel that, they're going to get upset, and I will, at that point, I step in, I move my left foot forward, I'm standing with both my feet together. I step forward, and I lean in, and I say, he's gay. Then I step back. We do everything by the book. We do it according to the uniform code of how we do it. And your questions, I think, are only trying to create a problem where there is no problem.
I don't know what you mean when you step in with the left foot, but you're informing the young lady that he's gay. I understand. Whoever it is that you're, you know, frisking.
Well, it might not be a young lady. It might be that old woman that was causing such a problem. I was going to say old bag. I don't want to say that, but she sounded like an old bag. And I don't want to call her that, but she was being very rude. But no, it might be an old lady. I'm not saying thrill kill or any other man would get any kind of thrill. I'm not going to get a cheap thrill out of doing a probe on an old lady. But if it makes women feel better, I can, as I said, I will step in left foot forward. He's gay. Step back.
And that's part of the process. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Al in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Al, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
I don't believe you have a right to search anybody. I mean, I'm no law enforcement or anything. I do private security.
What if they give their consent?
I am able to carry a weapon on jobs, but not off of jobs. But
right.
You have to, even a police officer has to have a probable cause to do anything other than question what's going on. I don't really understand.
See,
like, you will cause more problems.
Well, if they give their consent, that's the key, and that's what you're missing. If I say turn around, put your hands on your head, and shut your mouth, and they do what I tell them to do, they've given their consent.
Well, if you were to say that to me, I would turn around and say no, and then I would question you,
right.
And then
now
what would
we've
you
got
do?
Probable cause. Now we got probable cause because here you are out on 9/11. Yes, I do because you're out on 9/11.
And then
why
if you
are you shopping on 9/11?
I would have all the right in the world to hurt you and defend myself. And
no, you wouldn't
be perfectly fine.
Well, then I would have all the right in the world then to neutralize.
Then you're talking about
neuter you.
That could happen to you. I don't understand.
Well, you're talking about neutering.
It blows my mind.
What do you mean neutering?
Trying to provide a service.
What are you doing shopping on 9/11? What are you doing out shopping on 9/11? That's not suspicious. Of course it is. On a day where 3,000 people got carved up, and you're out there and you're getting yourself a hot dog?
It is a grieving day.
Are you going to get a hot dog? Of course life goes
on.
I understand that.
You know, people have families and friends and children, and they're going to go do things. And it's perfectly normal for that.
Earlier,
you had said people should feel guilty, and nobody should feel guilty about 9/11.
You should feel guilty. You should feel guilty about 9/11 if you're not getting a hot dog on a day when people got
when someone dies in your family, and you have a funeral and you grieve. You have a funeral to celebrate their life. Of course, it's upsetting, and people tend to get upset. But you shouldn't feel guilty about that family member.
So, are you going to have a dance? Are you going to go dancing on 9/11? Are you going to go dancing on 9/11? Yes or no?
What do you mean dancing?
I want to know what the gentleman's going to.
Well, there'll be a lot of people that will be dancing. I'm sure there will be.
Man.
I myself will be working tomorrow.
I have
a job to do myself tomorrow. But I'm sure as I'm working, I will stop in and have lunch somewhere. I will stop in. For all I know, I might be going to a mall with the security escort that I have.
Yeah. But you're working. You're working. And I'm saying if you were out and you were not working, you're telling me on 9/11 you're gonna go. You're gonna go dance. You're gonna go do the
Watusi. I would still live a normal day as any other day was.
I would like to ask this gentleman a question, Mr. Henry. Would you be angry if you saw a man doing a running man on 9/11 or a Cabbage Patch? That wouldn't make you angry.
What are you talking about, doing the running man on 9/11?
If this gentleman saw some punk kid in the mall doing a Cabbage Patch, like he just caught a touchdown pass on 9/11, wouldn't that make that man angry?
That's not, even if it made him angry, that's no reason for a cop to frisk somebody. You can't frisk someone based on your moods.
What are you talking about? Let me get back to talking to this gentleman.
You can't,
he's been,
you're not.
Go ahead, lay it on me.
It's not making any sense. Like,
I'm
you're definitely looking,
talking to you.
You're
going to
get yourself hurt by doing things like this.
Are you?
Whether you have
you
problem with
you're
like
get,
you can't just
you're
say,
you're going to get yourself hurt.
Shut up.
I want to ask you something, Al. What is your understanding? If you said to someone, put your hands on your head and shut up, and they did what you asked them to do, is that consent?
Anybody that consents to that, I mean, they should definitely question first. I mean, a police officer
what if they don't?
Has to
what if they don't? What if they don't? What if
first?
Wait a minute. What if they don't? What if they don't? What if a regular person just says, put your hands on your head and shut up, and they
do it? If they do
it,
that's cool. That's fine. I mean,
there you go.
There,
thank you. So you agree with me. So
someone,
he agrees with
someone
me.
Does
thank
not
you, Bill.
Do that. You
3,000 people died on 9/11. You're out.
On them. Now here's
and you're
here's
out
my
wrestling
point.
Through the 50s.
Humanity
the 50% off Bennett Express for men. But it's great.
Jay,
this guy is out at the Express bin at the Express for Men 50% off bin on 9/11. That makes me want to throw up.
Okay.
Think about it.
Everybody
it's
is an
bad.
Individual.
Exactly.
Okay. Why are you buying board shorts or sweaters on 9/11? That's a red flag. You gonna go out and get yourself some fat pants on 9/11?
Would you shut up and let this man finish?
Oh, you just told me to shut up. Am I gonna sue you? No.
I'm asking you to let this man finish.
There's been a ton of things.
Really interesting. I'm sitting here. I'm saying, why put your hand on your head, turn around, and I'm not allowed to do that. Mr. Henry, tell me, shut up.
Yeah. Uh-huh, Al. Go ahead. Yeah.
So, you know, you can grieve and still, I mean, everybody's going to live their lives. So.
All right, I get it. All right, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, you blew that guy off. Oh, man, you're telling me shut up. You just blew him off.
What I wanted to hear what the gentleman had to say without you yakking. Now, you're telling me about what? What is he out buying board shorts for?
No, I said originally on 9/11, a day that commemorates the deaths, a horrible deaths of 3,000 people, this guy's out going through the Express for Men 50% off bin.
Yeah, I heard that. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Bob. Go ahead, Bob. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos.
Okay. I'd like to ask the man if he's a certified police officer. Does he have the right to carry a weapon?
Of course. We all do. The Constitution says that you have a right. You've heard of the right to bear arms? Okay.
Is he armed?
No.
Is he armed?
No, that's not.
Is my arm what?
Is you an armed officer?
I'm armed.
You're armed.
Yeah.
You are armed.
Yes, sir.
Have you been through the academy training?
Oh, no, I don't carry a weapon. When I'm out with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we don't carry a firearm. That's what you're asking. No or not?
You don't
carry? We use a three-step.
You don't?
No, sir. We take a three-step takedown. We have a billy stick and my good looks, you know.
The only thing you can legally do is if you're in the company of a certified police officer and you can assist him. But now let me tell you something.
If I tell you to turn around and put your hands on your head and you do it, I've got the right to do a full spread.
No, you don't. You do not have the right. You put your hands on me and I'll charge you with assault.
What? How did I assault you? All I did was pat. I'm doing a probe.
Yeah, you put your hands on me. Hey, listen. You put your hands on me, or you detain me, legally, you have arrested me, and you don't have authority to do that.
But you gave me the right to do it when I said, turn around, put your hands on your head, and shut the sewer under your nose, and you did all of that.
You don't have that authority, my friend. You do not have that
authority. Then why did you do what I asked you to do?
Look, if you, I want to ask this question. If a bank, if a guy who is going to stick you up or mug you says to you, put your hands in the air, and you do that, are you giving him consent?
No, but he's got a gun. I don't have a gun. All I'm saying to the guy is, put your hands on top of your head, turn around, keep the pie hole closed, and nobody gets hurt.
What you're doing is jumping from one thing to the other. You're talking about stopping people and frisking them, and you do not have that right. You do not.
Doing a spread. I'm talking about doing a spread and a probe. I don't know, when you say frisk.
We're talking about the same thing, the way you've described it. You're doing a full frisk.
You do not have authority as an auxiliary officer to tell anybody to spread and put their hands behind their head and all that.
Well, what about a probe? What about a probe?
What about a what?
A probe. P-R-O-B-E. Can I probe?
No, you don't have any authority to probe anybody. You don't. When you put your hands on somebody, I tell you what, if you told me to put my hands on the back of my head that you were going to press me, I tell you, you better back off.
Well, all I want to do is I want to see you spread so I can probe. And you've got a problem with that.
You don't have that right. You don't have that authority.
Oh, God. All right. You know what? Thank you very much, Bob. That's a good call, and I think you cleared that up. You just like hearing yourself say that, don't you?
No, I don't. I wanted to know if that man there minded if I...
Yeah, spread and probed. 877-876-PHIL. Back with Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. As he talks about their security precautions tomorrow, 9/11, put your hands on your head, turn around and keep the pie hole under your nose shut, and everybody will get along just fine. Are you giving your consent when he talks to you like that? 877-876-PHIL.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Tomorrow is the 9th anniversary of 9/11, and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, not an official police agency, an auxiliary police agency, Jay, and you don't like me saying it.
When you bring it up to discredit us, Mr. Hendry.
I'm not trying to discredit you. I want to give people the exact information they're entitled to, the truth. If you say to somebody, stop, put your hands on top of your head and turn around...
Well, first of all, I don't say it that way.
Well, what do you say?
I say, turn around, put your hands on your head. I say it in a different sequence. The reason why we say it in a different sequence is it is more authoritative to say, stop, turn around, put your hands on your head, and then you will do it. And by the way, I am very offended. When we do a spread and a probe, we're talking about a two-finger probe, which is conducted by our gay officer, Jimmy Threlkel. And that's a two-finger. That is not what the police use, which is almost like their entire fist, if you'll pardon me for saying that.
All right, I understand. 877-876-PHIL. And we'll go to a phone call here with Mike in Boston. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Sanos. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Phil. How are you?
Yes, sir. Fine.
I just, you know, I was listening to the radio show, and this gentleman is absolutely delusional. I mean, if I was in the mall and this guy came up to me and told me to shut my mouth and put my hands on my head, I mean, I would laugh at this guy, first of all. That's not the way you treat people, number one. I mean, a police officer, if he had any suspicion of somebody, he would probably scope out this guy, okay, and he would walk up to him, he would slowly walk up to him and say, excuse me, sir, can I speak with you, or sir, could you stop right there? I'd like to have a word with you.
You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, sir.
If I walked into a mall with my wife and my three daughters and this police, whatever he thinks he is, this buffoon, tried to stop me and my and tried to stop me and my wife and my three daughters, told us to put our hands on our head, that he was going to frisk
us. Correct.
There is
That's
no
correct.
Way that that is going to happen in any way, shape, or form.
Well, how do you... So, in other words, I'm supposed to let you just walk into that mall. Is that it?
That is absolutely correct, because I don't know what you think you know about citizens' arrest laws, but unless I prefer
you doing
unless
that?
You went in there
on 9/11, you guys are going out to see a movie? Oh my God!
Hey Jay,
if that's not suspicious,
Hey Jay, unless I perform a misdemeanor or a felony in your presence, you have absolutely no right to approach me or my family in any way, shape, or form if you are not an official law enforcement official.
It is a suspicious act for you to be going getting yourself some extra buttered popcorn on 9/11.
You keep saying that, and yet people are going to go out and do what they're going to do.
Yeah?
Hey, Jay. Yeah. How come you're not out on December 7th?
Yeah.
On Pearl Harbor Day, when thousands of Americans got killed. Hey, Jay, how come you're not out on June 6th,
who says I'm not?
Day, when
who
thousands
says
of Americans got
who
killed?
Who says I'm not?
I don't
yeah.
believe that you are.
That's right.
I believe.
That's right.
I believe, Jay.
You're the kind of guy, you're going to go out and put extra mustard on your hot dog on Memorial Weekend, and you don't even care the guy got all...
Hey, Jay,
they all got killed on the beach.
Yeah? Hey, Jay, let me tell you something. You are
Hey, David, yeah?
You are exploiting the deaths of the people of 9/11.
I am.
To promote your own personal agenda and program of some buffoonery organization that you have come up with.
The Citizens Auxiliary Police, you talk about me exploiting those people. You're the guy that's exploiting them, getting your hot dog and, you know, your juju bees on a day of 9/11.
Hey, because I walk into a mall on 9/11 does not mean I'm going to buy a hot dog and a juju bees. Hey, Jay,
what are you doing in there?
On that day,
what are you doing
I'm walking
in
into the, hey, Jay, maybe that day I'm walking into the mall to go to the Christian bookstore because I want to buy a book to read the passages on that day, Jay. How do you know what my intentions are?
Because you're with your wife and your kid, you'd never go into a Christian bookstore with your wife and kid. You'd be embarrassed. If you got your wife and your kid with you, you're going to go take them to some, you know, like, I don't know, watch Wrestle a Bear or some deal like that. I don't know what deal.
Huh?
Stuff like that.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is an ABC News special report.
Now, by the entire ABC network, Good Morning America was in progress in the East Coast and the Midwest, but we're joined by the entire network just to show you some pictures at the foot of New York City. This is at the World Trade Center. Obviously, a major fire there, and there has been some sort of explosion. We don't fully know the details. There is one report, as of yet unconfirmed, that a plane has hit the World Trade Center, and you can see that there is smoke there coming out of at least two sides of the building.
Yeah. This just in, you are looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center. CNN Center right now is just beginning to work on this story, obviously calling our sources and trying to figure out exactly what happened, but clearly something relatively devastating happening this morning there on the south end of the island of Manhattan. That is, once again, a picture of one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Well, you can see these pictures. It's obviously something devastating has happened. And again, unconfirmed report that a plane has crashed into one of the towers there. We are efforting more information on this subject as it becomes available to you.
Right now, we've got Sean Murtaugh. He is a CNN producer on the telephone right now. Sean, what can you tell us about what you know?
This is Sean Murtaugh. I just was standing on the
Vice President of Finance.
Sean,
Vice President of Finance for CNN.
Sean, we're on the air right now. What can you tell us about this situation?
Hello?
Yes, Sean, you're on the air now. Go ahead. What can you tell us?
I just witnessed a plane that appeared to be cruising slightly lower than normal altitude over New York City, and it appears to have crashed into, I don't know which tower it is, but it hit directly in the middle of one of the World Trade Center towers.
Sean, what kind of plane? Was it a small plane, a jet?
It was a jet. Looked like a two-engine jet, maybe a 737.
You're talking about a large passenger commercial jet.
United 93, that traffic views 112 miles eastbound 370.
Negative contact, we're looking at United 93.
Somebody call, please. United 93, verify 350. United 93, verify your level 350. United 93, verify your level 350.
It's 8:52 here in New York. I'm Brian Gumbel. We understand that there has been a plane crash on the southern tip of Manhattan. You're looking at the World Trade Center. We understand that a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center. We don't know anything more than that. We don't know if it was a commercial aircraft. We don't know if it was a private aircraft. We have no idea how many were on board or what the extent of the injuries are right now. We have an eyewitness on the phone right now. Sir, what's your name?
Yeah, my name is Stuart.
Stuart, where are you right now?
I'm working at a restaurant in Soho.
All right, so tell us what you saw, if you would.
I was waiting at a table, and I literally saw it seemed to be like a small plane. I just heard a couple noises. It looked like it, like, bounced off the building, and then I just saw a huge, like, ball of fire on top. And then the smoke seemed to simmer down, and it just, you know, a lot of smoke was coming out, and that's pretty much the extent of what I saw.
A private aircraft?
I'm not sure if it was a... It just seemed like a smaller plane. I don't think it was anything commercial.
Could you tell us whether or not there was a prop or a jet?
I honestly don't know. It happened too quickly.
United 93, that traffic view is 112 miles eastbound 370.
It does not appear that there's any kind of an effort up there yet. Now remember, oh my God.
Oh my God.
That looks like a second plane.
I did not see a plane go in. That just exploded.
You just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did. That was out of absolutely.
Yes, and that's
view.
The second explosion. You could see the plane come in just from the right-hand side of the screen. So this looks like it is some sort of a concerted effort to attack the World Trade Center that is underway in downtown New York.
We will see that scene again just to make sure we saw what we thought.
We're going to give you a replay of what we just saw, and I must admit I thought it was some sort of fire equipment coming in or some sort of observation plane, but it was obviously designed to attack the World Trade Center. We're going to show you that. Here's a replay of the videotape.
Transport Minister David Colinette saying that they are monitoring the situation here in Canada, that we are taking security very seriously here as well, to quote the minister, that we are also here in Canada on alert for any possible attacks as well. Although it should be mentioned right now, what has happened, two attacks, there have been in Manhattan, one plane colliding with one twin tower, 18 minutes later, oh my God. Imagine the situation could get any worse. You've just seen it get worse. That was the second tower. tower of the World Trade Center collapsing before our eyes. The second tower collapsing as rescue officials were trying to evacuate the building, trying to put the fire out that after a plane had collided there shortly before 9 o'clock this morning. Both towers at the World Trade Center, 110-story buildings, have collapsed.
Attacks in two American cities, New York and in Washington. The trade centers here in New York have been hit by airplanes. In Washington, there is a large fire at the Pentagon. The Pentagon has been evacuated. And there's, you can see, perhaps the second tower, the front tower, the top portion of which is collapsing. Good Lord. There have been attacks. Two American cities, New York.
I'm going to interrupt you, Senator McCain. These are the first pictures we have in. This is from Somerset County, Pennsylvania. This is where the United Airlines flight, I believe it is 176, went down. I'm sorry, I'm correcting. United Airlines 93. This was a Boeing 757 bound from Newark, New Jersey to San Francisco. It crashed in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, near the town of Shanksville, south of Pittsburgh. We're told about 80 miles outside of Pittsburgh in western Pennsylvania. It is not known how many passengers or crew were on board, although initial reports indicated no survivors. Again, these are the first pictures we have coming in from WTAJ there in the Pittsburgh area. United Airlines telling us earlier they had lost this flight, and they knew that it had crashed near Pittsburgh. There is a second United Airlines flight, the Boeing 767 flight 175, bound from Boston to Los Angeles, has crashed. The airline still telling us at this point that they do not know where. We don't have information on the number of people aboard. It is possible, but not confirmed, that this would have been the second plane to hit the World Trade Center.
Show
877-876 Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the anniversary today. This is it. We're 18 minutes into the end of the day, and I know that people have varying opinions, but it's always going to be an important day for me. I'm just speaking for me. So if you listen to my show and it's September the 11th, I guess Phil's going to do his thing. Yeah, it's pretty much what's going to happen. We're going to play all those tapes, and we're going to, you know, bring back that visceral memory, which is necessary, I think. At least I believe it is. And a guy mentioned last hour, he mentioned Pearl Harbor, and I wasn't there. I wasn't even born yet, as I expect most of us weren't. But it had a great effect on the American people. It was very profound, and people remembered that for a long time. And even today, though most of us weren't there and don't have any direct personal experience of it, we do respect the day and we do think of it, and we realize it was a important day. I mean, my only feeling is that it's disappointing for me because I grew up, my high school years were spent in the 1960s, so I heard the clarion call for change. You know, I heard people talking about American foreign policy this, and about the credibility gap that, and about how we are being lied to over here. And then we had Richard Nixon. I always, to this day, I always say, Nixon, you know, you might have done a lot of things right, man, but the stuff you did wrong, boy, did that, because nobody trusted government after Nixon. That was the end of the road, man, for any, and maybe that was healthy, I don't know. But the result of that was a couple of things. Nixon... Are you going to quit with your finger in your nose?
Sorry.
I'm talking serious here.
I told you, man.
Sorry, I was listening. It was interesting. I didn't know my finger.
Yeah, you didn't know your finger was in your nose. It was.
Yeah, but what that?
It bothers me to turn and look at you with your finger in your nose. Where was I, Robert?
You were talking about Nixon.
Anyway, yeah, so Nixon's administration was the death of any residual trust the American people had in government. Now, that sounds funny today, but there was a time when people heard Uncle Sam say something, they heard the government say something, and they went, okay, that's the way it's rolling out to us. We believe that. I don't know that there were too many reasons for the federal government to lie to the American people before, let's say, oh, I don't know, the 50s. I mean, I'm sure that there were all kinds of interesting things going on behind the scenes, but to what end? I mean, you can take a look at how we got a hold of Hawaii. That's pretty messed up. And the Spanish-American War, that's all jacked up. And, you know, the Philippines, and on we go. But it really got interesting with the Bay of Pigs, and then Kennedy, and then came Nixon. So nobody trusted the government. So along comes the turn of the 21st century, and what have we got? We have an attack on the United States by a terrorist organization. I call it a terrorist organization, but it's actually a gang of psychopaths, a gang of Sunni psychopaths. Seriously, a gang of Sunni Muslim psychopaths. Now, they may not be the actual Muslims. They might be an embarrassing and criminal offshoot. I understand that. I get that. But that's nonetheless, I mean, they identify themselves as such. There are white supremacist organizations in America who call themselves Christian Identity. You ever heard this term?
Uh-uh.
Christian Identity. And so they are described as such by others. Christian Identity. That's a church. I don't know what it means, but I think it has something to do with America's the promised land, not Israel.
Well, that means there ain't no Jews.
Right. That's convenient for them, so they can say, America's the promised land, and guess what? There's no Jews here. So anyway, along comes 2001, bang, down goes the World Trade Center, and out come all of the aspiring Robert Woodward and Carl Bernsteins that we have. Well, it had to have been the government, and it had to have been this, and even though there weren't a lot of them, they were very distracting, and they were very disrespectful. And they were very ignorant. And the most important aspect to the 9/11 truthers, they were very self-serving, money-grubbing. Money-grubbing, that's what they are. I mean, guys like Jones. Jones has got his disciples, but that guy, he's about one thing, making as much money off of the dummies as he can. So, you know, P.T. Barnum, meet Alex Jones. All right. Nonetheless, it causes a great deal of, cynicism. And then the thing on top of that is that we begin to question, what did we do wrong? Now, I say, and I will always say this, that's like a woman questioning her outfit the night she got raped. Had I not worn this? And I think that if she is legally entitled to wear that outfit, then she's legally entitled. And to ask questions like that, I think it's criminal in and of itself. It's like the Jews asking, where did we go wrong that we got slid into ovens? There must have been something. No. There comes a point where the act is so outrageous that all the questions about why it happened don't matter. Because what you've just done is you've just removed the moral high ground. So whatever the reasons in the heads of the guys that pulled off 9/11 were, they don't amount to nothing. And they never will, as far as I'm concerned. Never will. All the innocent people. The United States of America has been involved in a lot of wars, but the United States of America has never purposefully targeted innocent people in that manner. Now, you can say that in the bombing campaigns of World War II, all kinds of civilians were targeted by the British, by the Americans, by the French, by the Russians, and yes, by the Germans. But that was warfare in the 1940s. That's how it was done. That's how war was conducted. Along comes the 1960s, 70s, 80s, the 90s, and here we are today. And especially during the Gulf War, where we had smart bombs, and those are developed so that you have more of the target destroyed and less of the collateral destroyed, right? So with the United States making efforts in that direction along with other countries. So the U.S. has never, as a policy, as some countries have, and as Al-Qaeda has, and some Arab countries have, targeted on purpose the butchery of innocent people. So it doesn't make any difference to me what Al-Qaeda says or anybody else in that part of the world when they talk about the numbers of innocent people that America killed. The United States, in the process of trying to clean up a sick world, and I'll tell you something else, trying to right the empires of France, of Britain, and a few others, because that's who got caught in the lurch. When France went south after World War II, guess who was stuck in Indochina? We were. You know whose colony that was? The frogs. When the British were on their ass after World War II, they had no empire left. Well, guess who's stuck in the Middle East, which used to be British? You got it. We were. Now, you can say, well, we didn't have to be, but hey, they were allies of ours, friends of ours. You know, and after all, the pitch was to the Arab people after World War I, you help us win this war, we're going to help you get your own states and your own countries, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. America wasn't lying to them. Britain was. What happened to us was we got all of the garbage that had been created by the French and the British and the Germans and the Russians. We got all of that dumped onto our lawn. Because those guys, they don't exist anymore as world powers. So America had to take care of everything. We had to clean up every dirty, filthy little garbage pail that there was. And we also took all the grief for it. Even as people continued to immigrate here. Even as people continued to celebrate this country as a place where you could work and actually get something done and actually create and thrive and live, even as they did all of those things, they created a whole new boogeyman, America. Why do we support Israel? I'll give you the short answer. The reason why we support Israel is because we had GIs come home from World War II who saw the bodies laying in feces and urine. We had American soldiers who walked into those concentration camps and saw that. So, if that's bad, to me, this day, 9/11, will always be a special day because it reminds me that America is a country, not an amusement park. America had its citizens murdered on this day by people who felt they had every right in the world to do it and would get the support of the world because of their self-pitying, manipulative, psychopathic propaganda. And they almost pulled it off. And America can't suddenly let down because it feels guilty. It exists. And we've got a strain of thinking these days that says, wow, you know, we actually exist. I mean, we're alive. We shouldn't, really. Not really. We got to turn this thing all over to somebody else, man. The best thing we can do, let's build a bunch of mosques. I mean, we got to apologize for something, don't we? World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
This is pretty interesting. You see this?
Yes, jump out a window.
Welcome to our show, the Phil Hendry Show here. We're our final hour in our news hour here. I have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with me. A Playboy centerfold tried to open a plane door during a flight.
Yeah, he said because you said her boobs are too big.
Well, that's what it seemed like.
Her boobs were too big?
That's the way they made it seem like, to go try to bust out and everything.
Where's it sound? Oh, here it is. A Playboy centerfold tried to bust out midair. That's just a play on words, you know.
Yeah, man. You think her boobs are so big... She got to get out.
That's the way it sounded. It's feasible.
Oh, yeah, it's feasible. Meaning what, man? Her boobs are so big that the plane doesn't contain them?
Well, if they go up too high, and you were telling me about it, The air pressure makes everything expand, right?
You think her breasts got expanded by the air pressure and it was going to bust the plane open?
Yeah, but now I know, no, I know it isn't now, but I did know it when, on a, that I did then.
What?
What are you talking about, man?
I know that now, but I didn't not know it then.
You knew it now, but in other words, you recognize what a completely jackball idea that is.
I dig a jackball, but it didn't happen.
So in other words, but if I said to you that, you know, a Playboy bunny on a plane.
Oh, why don't you let it, just give it a rest.
Don't tell me to give it a rest. You're the cat that, well, you know what, Robert brought it up, you're right, so I will give it a rest.
No, but he was just saying it 5 seconds ago, just because he come on the air, now he says give it a rest.
What you're telling me is, in other words, a Playboy bunny goes up in an airplane, the air pressure affects the size of her breasts, they get so big, the plane explodes.
That's what I thought.
Well, it didn't happen.
No kidding.
All right. A Playboy, oh, here, it says, the plane exploded because her boobs got too big.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I am.
Ha, man, oh, you should have seen his face.
Shut up, no, I didn't.
All right, just be quiet. A Playboy centerfold tried to bust out midair from a jet amid a bad case of high anxiety. Law enforcement officers met a JetBlue plane at its arrival gate in Newark Liberty International Airport Thursday afternoon because of a passenger who was causing a disturbance on board. The passenger was identified as 21-year-old Tiffany Livingston. She was aboard JetBlue Flight 522 from Florida to Newark on Thursday when she when she bolted from her seat and tried to open the door of the plane. She became agitated because of turbulence and appeared to grab the handle of an emergency door, a source told Fox 5, Channel 5, Fox whatever.
Right there.
Yeah, that's in Newark, New Jersey. Fox 5 News. Then two off-duty police officers who happened to be on the flight stopped her. So much for air marshals, huh?
Well, they got an air marshal on every plane?
Not all of them.
Probably not all of them, no. In fact, I know not all of them. I don't know what air marshal, what play, I don't know why, how, when, or where they put air marshals. These were two off-duty cops, and they happened to be on the flight. They stopped her. The plane, flight 522 or 552 from Fort Myers, Florida, landed safely and without incident, according to Allison Croyle, a spokesperson for the airline. JetBlue will cooperate fully with local authorities who are investigating this matter, she said in a statement. She said she's gone through this before, but never this bad, and didn't have her medication, according to one source talking to the New York Post. Who is this, Livingston? I guess. Livingston was detained, but she was later released, and no charges were filed. She was the centerfold for the debut edition of VIP, the Singapore version of Playboy, in which she was described as not just another pretty face.
She's white, though.
How do you know she's white?
Well, it's Tiffany.
And what difference does it make?
On account of Singapore.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, if it's the Singapore version, maybe they like... They're women, you know, it's Playboy. Women, women, women. It doesn't make any difference. We got all kinds of women in Playboy here.
Yeah, it's because we got all kinds of women. Singapore only got one kind.
All right, so Singapore only got one kind, but I guess maybe the guys over there like to look at all kinds. I don't know. I mean, you got to turn everything into a racial thing? What are you going to do, man? Pass a law?
Yeah, but how come you're going to have Playboy in Singapore and you got a white woman in there? What about all the Singaporeans?
Yeah.
What's a Singaporean? Boy, that's a good one.
Well, what do you call them?
What do you call them, man? Ain't that a country?
Singapore's a country, yeah. It's a country and a city. It's like everything into one.
So you call it like a Singapore? I don't know.
Well, you know, you guys come up with these names because you just like the way they sound. They sound funny. Singaporean.
I don't know what you call it.
I don't either, man, to be honest with you. What do you call a native of Singapore?
Probably they have names like a Sangamon or something. They'll shorten it up and everything about that. You know how they do that?
No, I don't know how they do that.
You know, like sometimes they call a... like, don't they call like a...
You come on and spit it out, man. I haven't got all night.
Well, like, they'll call somebody from, come from New York to call you a Yankee, right?
Call you a Yankee? Yeah, if you play baseball.
Uh-huh. You got you on that one.
Well, you know, what would they call a Yankee then?
They call Americans Yankees. I got the word here, Singaporean. I was right. A Singaporean.
You weren't right. We were right.
Yeah, we said it.
Oh, you're right. Anyway, Livingston was detained, but she was later told to get off our flight and never darken our sheets again. So she was in the Playboy, or the Singapore version of Playboy, which described her as not just another pretty face. She's a pretty face with large breasts, too. But, oh yeah, you're right, a lot of women have those, too. So she's not just another pretty face with large breasts, she's got a big butt. Tiffany boasts the immaculate poise of a mature model wrapped with a bubbly demeanor, the profile said. For a white woman, she's also very clean, said the, I'm kidding, it doesn't say that.
Oh, man, you got in trouble for that.
I'm joking, okay? Asked if she believed in destiny, Tiffany said, yes, I do believe in destiny, and I'm destined someday to open up the emergency exit on a flight at 45,000 feet and vaporize. No, she said, I'm the kind of person who needs to feel like everything happens for a reason. When you date a guy and it goes badly, that's horrible. But if you leap out of an airplane, that's even horribler. No, she said, but if you can write a song about it, then it was worth it. So, Tiffany, the next time you jump out of an airplane, write a song about it. Let me ask you a question, man, and because I suppose I've had, yeah, sure, I've had nerves on airplanes. But when I first started flying, I think now I'm good, you know. As a matter of fact, I was on a flight. We were going down to the Caribbean, and this was about 5 or 6 years ago. And I'll tell you, man, we were flying into Orlando, and we were going to take that. We took the kids on the Disney cruise. And this guy, I don't know what happened, but you can often, you know, when you think about it later, because they don't say anything. You know, he just missed somebody. But this cat did a bank and a turn that was not just right out of the books. You know, this was like, it was real fast.
Yeah, like he was trying to avoid something.
Exactly. Like he was trying to avoid hitting something. And I remember the plane went down and turned. Everybody on the flight, everyone in the plane sort of looked up. And beads of sweat started forming. And rosaries came out. And the signs of the cross. I mean, it was... And then the pilot got on the intercom and said, I'm sorry, folks, but my zipper was down. No, he said...
Did he say that?
No, he didn't say that. He didn't come on and explain anything. Jason says that he put pictures of this playmate at twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show. But, of course, he's not going to put any in the message box so I can look at them. But if you'd like to go see the playmate that we're talking about, Tiffany Livingston... Go to twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show and check it out. And I cannot open that window up. I am told, Jason, the link that you sent me is a corrupt piece of crap. The hell is this, man? All right, so there you go. That is Tiffany Livingston. The other question that I have, and again, I why is it that if someone is afraid of flying and someone is deathly afraid of the plane crashing, why do they want to jump out of the airplane?
That's a good question, yeah.
I don't know, but you'd think it'd be logical to get out of there if the plane is going to crash.
No, it's not logical to get out of there if the plane's going to crash. If you are 40,000 feet up, man, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but what do you think would be better, flying through the air on your own or the plane crash?
Bud, I would take my chances with the plane, man. If I leap out of the plane...
Are you crazy, man? You leap out of the plane, you got no chance. First of all, you up with no oxygen, so your head's going to blow up, your lungs are going to blow up, everything like that.
What's he talking about?
When you go up high enough, there's very little oxygen. Did you know that?
Are you crazy or something? There's all kinds of wind and everything.
There may be a lot of wind, man, but there ain't no oxygen, okay? The air may be moving around, but it's very thin up there, so there's not a lot of oxygen. I told the story on the air of the man who rode the storm. You know that one, Jace? And I think I told it on the air here. There was a guy, an Air Force pilot, and he wrote the book called The Man Who Rode the Hurricane or The Man Who Rode the Storm. Do you remember that, Robert?
Yeah, I remember a little bit of it.
What was it?
This is a guy who had to eject from a jet. And he was up there, man. Now, I don't know how high these jets get. He was an Air Force or Navy pilot. He was on some kind of maneuver. He was out and he was flying and he was doing what those guys do, right? So he's flying and he flew up over a hurricane or some kind of storm. But make a long story short here, the guy experienced a mechanical problem. He had to eject. He ejected at an elevation that was that could have been fatal. He was up way up there, Jack. I mean, he was way the hell up there to the point where he could feel as he ejected and flew out of the jet, he could feel his skin beginning to stretch, you know?
Like that lady's boobs did.
Her boobs didn't stretch. You an idiot or something?
Man, why do you keep saying that?
Well, on account of what it said.
I already told you her boobs didn't stretch, man. It had to do with her being afraid of flying. Anyway, so he could feel his skin stretching. He could feel his face. He had a difficult time breathing. But he was surviving this. Now, I'm not telling the story the way he told it. And you've got to get this book. It's called, I think, The Man Who Rode the Storm or The Man Who Rode Tiffany. No, I'm kidding. The Man Who...
Really?
No. The Man Who Rode the Storm. Anyway, The Man Who Rode the Thunder. Thank you very much, Jace, by William Rankin. You got to read this. He could not open his chute because he had to get to a certain elevation before he could open the chute. Now, that's the part of the story that's fascinating, because he was airborne. He was up there for, I think, and if I'm exaggerating, please forgive me, but it was minutes. Literally minutes went by before he was at a safe elevation where he could open the chute. So he's just flying through the air. And he's flying through the air, at least partially, in the middle of a thunderhead, a thunderstorm. There's clouds, thunderclouds. There is rain. There's lightning. There's all kind of stuff, okay?
Man, I don't know. I'd scare me to death. It would scare me to death.
5 minutes passed before the chute could open. 5 minutes, according to Jason.
What's he doing, reading a book right now?
He's giving me the highlights, okay? Thank you. So 5 minutes, this guy's sailing through the air before his chute could open up. And then he opens his chute, and he continues down. And I think it was an hour or something. How long was it, Jason, before he finally hit the ground? Took him over 10 minutes before he landed. No, it's got to be longer than that. Takes him over 10 minutes before he lands? Really? Well, he was 5 minutes before he could open the chute, then 10 minutes before he lands after the chute. So that's 15 minutes. It seems to me it was a lot longer. But nonetheless, it's a harrowing tale, and it's the tale of a guy that had to bail out of his jet, okay?
What? Did he hit an eject button and all of that, like I seen? Like at an air show, that one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hit an eject button, and bang, it shoots your ass right out of there, man. If there's one thing that these guys that fly fighter pilots from the very beginning to the end, at least when they finally got parachutes, that any guy that flies... who flies a fighter aircraft knows, and even a bomber, they know that because you have aircraft trouble, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to die. They have parachutes, they are experienced in how to jump, and they know how to eject from an aircraft that's in trouble. So, thanks a lot, Jace. Getting right information. I knew it because I read this thing 20 years ago, and I know I had the information 40 minutes before he was in the air.
Think Jason needs glasses?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, 40 minutes he was in the air before he landed. So there you go.
So does Tiffany, if she jumped out, it'd be 40 minutes before her, well...
Before what?
Well, how long before her boobs deflate and...
Will you shut up with your jokes?
I'm not joking.
How long before her boobs can deflate and then they can, yeah. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
So I was telling the guys here, and welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Today is 9-11, so fly a flag today, man. You know, put the American flag out. Anyway, I was telling the guys during the break, because we were talking about this William Rankin, the guy that rode the Thunder. How we got into this? We got into this topic because Bud thinks that Playboy model's boobs inflated.
No, but you're talking about her going outside.
I'm just wondering why somebody who's afraid of flying, who's deathly afraid of air turbulence and all that accompanies it, would try to open the emergency door and get the hell out of the plane. I mean, what do you think is out there, baby? Nothing but a whole lot of nothing. You step out and you go boom. But in the book, and the movie, I think, reflects, but in the book, The Right Stuff, written by Tom Wolfe, some of you know who Chuck Yeager is. He's on a lot of those commercials. Hi, I'm Chuck Yeager for Pennzoil or some jazz. You see him, he's a handsome older guy, and I don't know if Chuck Yeager is still with us. Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier. He was the first, I think, to break the speed of sound, 300 feet per second. 300 feet per second is the speed of sound. Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier. And growing up in California as I did, I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley out in Los Angeles. Today you don't hear them anymore, and I don't think there are kids. He's still alive? Good. I don't think any kids in the L.A. area or Florida or wherever there's an airbase, I don't think kids hear this anymore. But growing up, we got used to listening to sonic booms around here. You would hear just a boom, just a like an explosion that literally sounded like it was punching the side of your house. Heard it all the time because we had Edwards Air Force Base up here. Chuck Yeager was part of that generation of pilots that flew the X-1 and the X-2, the X-15 rocket planes. This was initially going to be our way into space, flying rocket planes, taking off, going into the stratosphere, the ionosphere, and beyond into space. And then came the Ruskies, and they put up the Sputnik, and all of a sudden it was a big, fast, everybody in a hurry to get nowhere fast, and we had to get into space. Yeager, like a lot of pilots his age, thought, I am in line to be an astronaut. I'm in line to go to outer space. It wasn't going to happen. Because when all of a sudden the Ruskies hit the Sputnik and they put a guy up there, we had to do it the Russian way, which was a rocket. The reason why that rocket that you see on the launch pad at Cape Canaveral exists is because we were in a race with the Ruskies. Otherwise, we had the rocket plane program. It might have taken us longer to get to the moon, but in the book, The Right Stuff, Tom Wolfe writes of Chuck Yeager, disappointed that he is not going into space, getting into a prototype of a new rocket plane one morning out here at Edwards Air Force Base, what they used to call Miroc, gets into this plane and takes it straight up. And Wolfe writes so beautifully, Chuck Yeager is going through the stratosphere, he's going through the ionosphere, and suddenly he sees the sky darkening almost to a pitch black, and he can see for just a couple of seconds the twinkling of stars beginning to come out. Chuck Yeager is on the edge of space, and then...
Stalled it.
He stalled it. In the film, you see, and he literally says the JC, as he is trying to reignite that engine, can't do it, and that sucker begins to fall away from where Chuck Yeager wanted to be. And, of course, he did eject. And the canopy somehow, I think he was injured as he was ejecting. So there was a great deal of blood and fire, apparently, in the cockpit. And Chuck Yeager is battling this all the way down to Earth, this fire. It was inside of his helmet. That was it. He was trying to get his helmet off. If you see Chuck Yeager today, you'll notice that one of his eyes is a little bit more... looks like it's almost closed. That was an eye that was almost burned to the point where he couldn't see out of it as he had ejected from that rocket plane and was descending back to Earth. But in the film, you see Sam Shepard playing Chuck Yeager walking back toward the base. That's exactly how they found Chuck Yeager. He picked up his helmet, or he picked up what was left of his chute, and he just started hoofing it back to the base. He had just taken... Oh, I don't know, a $20 million piece of equipment.
Yeah, I bet that they really loved him.
Yeah, and just destroyed it. So he's a big hero. Anyway, I wasn't supposed to end the story that way. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, thanks to John Werick as our screener tonight, and Charles Wagon, of course, our technical director, and our producer is Jason Rantz. Later and greater, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.